Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2012 investor conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2012 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources LTD on Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information, because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued Friday, August 3, 2012, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Finally, we may undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our President and CEO, Dr. Klaus Seitler.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome to the Q2 investor conference. Before I start, I'd like to introduce Rob Henderson, our newly appointed COO, and Rob will make some comments on the operations. We also have Aurora Davidson, our CFO, here, and she can answer questions with respect to the financials. As you could see in our press release, Q2 was a very good, from a production point of view, a very good quarter. Financially, it was not so good. We explained that in the press release. We had very difficult mining conditions in the Colibas tailings pond, and that increased our costs and decreased our recoveries. With normal mining conditions, our production results would have even been better in Q2. And having now moved into a new area in the Colibas Dam, we think that Q3 will see this benefit from these better mining conditions. As you also could see from the press release, our cash position was reduced significantly. This is due mainly to the fact that we have now finalized in the first half of the year a major investment program, which we did in anticipation of the possibility of producing more from additional tailings ponds in the future, and quite a significant amount of these investments which we have done will be for this expansion of our operation and will benefit our operation in the future. In Q3 and 4, our capital requirements are significantly less, to the point that we will only spend about between $3 and $4 million in these two remaining quarters of the year, which is, as you could see from the financials, less than what we spent in Q2. So we think that our cash position has reached a low point, and we are looking forward to improving that cash position again, of course, always depending on the copper price in the future. These are all the comments I'd like to make at this point, and I'd like to ask Rob to give more details about the operations during the second quarter.
Thank you, Klaus. Both copper and moly production set new Q2 production records, and the company remains on course to meet or exceed our 2012 production guidance of 50 million pounds of copper. The copper production for Q2 2012 was 11.6 million pounds, and moly production was 229,000 pounds. The high rainfall, which MBC received in June, made for very difficult mining conditions at Kiliwis, and the tons processed were lower than budgeted. We expect to make up this tonnage in Q3 and Q4. For fresh tailings, a total of 11.4 million tons were processed at a copper grade of 0.131% for an overall copper recovery of 20.6% and producing 6.8 million pounds. The old historic tailings at the Kiliwis deposit processed 2.3 million tons at a copper grade of 0.278 and a copper recovery of 34.5% to produce 4.8 million pounds of copper from Kiliwis. The amount of copper sold was 10.8 million pounds, and this was due to inventory increases at month end due to delays in shipment to the smelter. For operating costs, the total cost in Q2 2012 was $2.37 per pound of copper, which compares closely to the $2.35 per pound which we achieved in Q1. And power continues to be the biggest cost component, and it will remain this way for Q3 and Q4 until we get the new power contracts in 2013. The total operating cost for Q2 2012 was $3.53 per pound of copper produced. And I hand it back to Klaus. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I guess I'd just like to make a few general statements. As Rob was saying, the power costs continued to be the highest cost component in our operations. And I just like to remind people that when Amerigo started this operation in 2003, one of the attractions which we had at that point was that Chile had one of the lowest power costs in the world, and certainly in South America, when we had power costs of about 3.5 to 4 cents. This, of course, has completely changed in the meantime. Chile now is the highest power cost producer in South America, and probably also one of the highest in the world. And as Rob indicated, for us, this will only change next year, but then it will change dramatically, and that should take us back to earlier years where we had very good profitability due to the fact that we had low power costs. Our power costs, as we have said various times, will revert to a kilowatt hour price of 6.2 cents, which will be indexed. So that will take it up to about 8 cents in 2019. And then including the fixed cost, transmission costs, and so on, we will probably be just short of 10 cents for power. And that is basically half of what we have, what we had in Q2. Now, in the second half of the year, we hope that power costs will ease a little bit. In fact, in July, they were down to about $1.40, $1.50. And that, in fact, has an effect on our per pound power costs of about 20 to 25 cents. I also like to make a general comment with respect to our revenues, which we can expect in Q3. Due to the fact that we had lower deliveries in 2011, we are now behind in our pricing. So at this point, we basically know what our prices will be for Q3. And these prices will be higher than the present actual prices of copper by about 15 cents. So both the reduced power costs and the still good copper price, which we will receive in Q3 2012, will hopefully contribute to a better financial result. I do, however, have to caution, because in Q3 we will have our negotiations for a new labor contract. We are hoping to conclude a new labor contract for another 4 years. And as is usual in South America or in Chile particularly, new labor contracts are connected with a signing bonus. And the signing bonus, the signing bonuses in the mining industry are substantial, and we will have to record the signing bonus as a cost probably in Q3, or depending on when these negotiations end, perhaps in Q4. But overall, our cash situation in the second half of this year should consolidate and hopefully improve.
So, operator, I think we could take questions now.
Certainly. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Raymond Goldie of Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, gentlemen and lady. I had three questions. Can I ask them all now, or should I go back into the queue after one or two?
No, please go ahead.
Thank you. First question is that you've added some 9 cents per pound of copper produced to your labor costs, and is that 9 cents included on the income statement? And if so, whereabouts in the statement of cash flows do you add back the 9 cents to profits to get cash flow?
Ray, this is Aurora. Yes, that amount has been added in the statement of operations as production costs, particularly labor costs, and we're basically taking it off on the cash flow statement under other, the line called other. It's non-recurring. It was basically an accounting estimation adjustment. So it has been taken out because, as we mentioned in the MD&A, it's a non-cash cost for the company.
Right. Thank you. The second question is of your additional capital expenditure that you've added to the budget this year. $1.9 million is for the capitalized pilot plant operating costs. What proportion of that could be reimbursable by Codelco?
None.
That is the net. The amount that we are showing is the net amount after the reimbursements that we have received from Codelco.
Okay, thank you. And the third one is... I'm delighted to see you're allocating the percentage of copper coming from different sources now, and I wondered if you could tell us what percentage of copper came from old tailings in Q1 this year.
Q1 or Q2?
You presented the Q2 number, and I'd just like the Q1 number.
Oh, Q1. In Q1, Colibas was high. I don't have it here right now, but Rob is looking for it. Q2 was lower due to the problems which we had, the difficult mining conditions. But Q1 should have been something like 49%.
Ray, I don't have the exact number, but I can give you Q1 plus Q2, and you can do the math to figure out the difference. Total copper from Kaliwis in tons for Q1 and Q2 was 5,451. Total copper from fresh tailings El Teniente was 6,092. So those are the Q1 plus Q2 numbers in tonnies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The following question is from Stephen Audridge of Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. One comment you had, there was higher grade in the fresh tailings in Q2. So... sulfide, it said. So how much higher was it? 10?
I'm just going to dig the numbers up for you. It was in fresh tailings, it was approximately about 5 points. So it was, 0.005% higher than what the budget was.
Okay.
But it's not a material amount. It's about 6% higher than what we expected.
Now, the other thing that caught my eye, the admin costs per pound went from 8 cents to 11 cents, which is a 37.5% increase. So what exactly happened there?
Again, that's part of the labor adjustment. We include labor as components of production cost and administration cost. So you can count for that increase as being part of the accounting adjustment on the revision of the estimate for the severance provisions at MVC.
Okay. The other thing, because there was significant capital costs, it's sort of ending now, I guess, in Q2, and that's really all for the new processing. Is that all for the new processing plant for oxides, or what was the split between that and existing facility?
No, it's very difficult to split it up. It was really an improvement in the operating equipment, which will, however, also be able to work for an expanded production. So I give you one example. We installed a new transformer. Now, the The old transformer was still...
Hello?
I'm sorry. It seems that there has been a technical issue. Please continue to stand by.
Okay.
They should be rejoining shortly. If everyone could just stay on the line, we'll be with you in a moment. All participants, please continue to stand by. Your conference will resume momentarily. Please continue to stand by, and we thank you for your patience. All participants, please continue to stand by. Your conference will resume momentarily. Once again, please continue to stand by. We thank you for your patience. And Mr. Ottridge, just so you're aware, your line is still in the open mode, so
okay.
If you make any noise, we'll be able to hear it in the call. So, and the moderator should be rejoining shortly. Everyone, can please continue to stand by. All participants, please continue to stand by. Your conference will resume momentarily. Once again, please continue to stand by, and we thank you for your patience. Please go
Hello?
Ahead, Mr. Kuda. You are back online with your participants.
Okay.
And Mr.
Hello?
Ottridge's line is still open as well.
All right. So is Stephen still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, you
okay.
were talking about the transformer, and I didn't think it would affect us up here in Vancouver.
Right. Right. But it shows you that we needed a new transformer. So anyway, the old transformer was still okay and was doing the job for our operation, even though it was still the same transformer as we had when we were only producing 10,000 tons of copper, and we are now over 20,000 tons. So however, we decided to install a new transformer, an additional transformer, in order to have backup. But that means that we not only have backup, but we also have enough capacity for any additional production which we will have. So you can see on this example how difficult it is to say what is replacement investment and what is investment for new and enlarged operation. But it's a good example, and many of the other investments are very similar. The same, for instance, with the thickener, with the third thickener which we added, it's the same thing.
Okay, that's good. One other thing, if I understood you correctly, the problem with mining out of Collahuasi was because of rainfall at MVC?
Well, Rob can answer that. It was for various reasons. Rob, why don't you go ahead?
rain is the biggest problem. You know, we're using hydraulic monitors to get the material out of the dam.
Yeah.
And they monitor down the slurry, and it goes to a central sump area where it's pumped out.
Right.
With all the water, I guess those sumps just got flooded out totally. So they had to drain them down, which took a couple of weeks, and install a new sump to replace the old one that had flooded.
Uh-huh.
So that was the major problem, is just, you know, excess water inside the mining area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's associated. The other associated problem is that we're right at the bottom of the particular mining area. So we're getting close to topography, and they were getting sticks and rocks from the original, you know, ground coming into the mine as well. So it wasn't a great quarter from a production point of view.
Okay, no, that's good. Okay, just on the electricity costs, my understanding is it dropped down to about 14 to 15 cents now? Is that what Klaus was
saying?
That's
right, yes, yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good for me. Thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Sid Rajiv of Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have a few questions. The first question you just answered, you said you had mining conditions were difficult in Q2, and you explained why. But have all the problems been fixed? Do you see a huge improvement in Q3?
Yeah, we see us getting back on track onto the budget, and you know, the tons which we did not get out in June will come back in Q3 and Q4. We're into a new mining area, and we don't expect the same water issues we had in the recent heavy, you know, wet winter conditions they experienced. So Q3 and Q4 are traditionally easier mining periods for us.
So does that heavy rain in June or May, June help you to cut down power costs in the
Exactly. That's the bright side of the, you know, the cloud, is that it will fill the reservoirs in Chile, and we're seeing the power costs coming down right now, as Klaus mentioned, down to the 14 to 15 cents level, and that's due to the rainfall that Chile has received.
Okay, just one more question. The investment in processing plants, Klaus mentioned that it's going to lead to an expansion. Any guidance on what kind of capacity will you have once all these, all this work is done?
Well, you know, right now we are basically at capacity with our production of 50 million plus pounds of copper per annum. But as I said, these things will have all been done in view of our discussions, which we have with Codelco, and we are still very hopeful that before the end of this year we should have an arrangement with Codelco on additional old tailings ponds.
Mm-hmm. When you mean additional, do you mean any guidance on that, 55 or 60, 65, just to get an idea in terms of the expected increase in production in the next few years? Any guidance if you can give, much appreciated.
Oh, we have said in the past that, that this expansion will be substantial. We are at this point thinking in terms of about 90 million pounds in the next few years.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from John Polcari of New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Klaus, what was the average power cost for Q2?
Just short of 20 cents.
20 cents. And you mentioned in July it had come down to, I had thought you mentioned 20, 25 cents per pound?
No, 14 to 15.
Per kilowatt hour.
Per kilowatt hour.
Ah, per kilowatt hour.
Yeah, 15. So we are talking a reduction of 4 cents. And as we have said in the past, we are using about between 5 and 6 kilowatt hours per pound of copper produced. So you can calculate, you know, if you have a 4 cent, if you have a 4 cent reduction, you know, that's at least 20 cent reduction in cost.
And in light of the reservoirs refilling, is it within the realm of possibility that August and September would see continued reduction in power costs?
No, I would be very cautious. I mean, we had these very, very heavy rains in June, but since that time, there was nothing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now in August. Normally, the rainy season comes to an end by the end of August. So if we don't get any further rain in August, things, you know, don't look that great from the marginal cost point of view. Because, as I have said in the past, the reservoirs, they have only been half full before the June rain. And even though the June rain was very heavy, I don't think, I haven't seen any statistics, but it certainly has not filled up the reservoirs to normal water levels.
And historically that would be what, 90% perhaps?
How you mean 90%?
In terms of the level of the reservoirs.
Well,
in a typical year without the drought of the last several years, going back historically.
That's right. You know, you should be back to normal levels. And I would think perhaps with the June rain, you know, they are perhaps at 60% or 70% maximum of the normal levels. So things are still not rosy,
what was the peak per kilowatt for this year? Was in the low 20s?
No, the peak from the grid was 28.
Wow. And you had a cap, I believe, right, at some point?
Yeah, you know, the cap comes in due to the fact that we have our
generators,
which produce right now at present oil prices at about 19 cents.
Mm-hmm. And cover approximately, what, a third of needs?
No, could cover up to
half. And again, the Q2 was approximately 20 cents a kilowatt, and currently you're down to 14 or 15.
Yes.
And the new contract, just to refresh, is
starts
5 years when it starts January 1?
That's right.
And lastly, if and when you finalize a new agreement with Codelco, will you, do you envision it in encompassing increased production or perhaps a revision to the pricing on the entire operation, because the original agreement was signed in an environment that was entirely different from where we are now.
That's right.
So could you speak to that? Do the discussions include perhaps a revision to the existing production, or would any change to the agreement with Codelco just involve anything in excess of what you're doing now? For instance, you spoke over the next several years of hitting perhaps 85 or 90 million tons.
Pounds.
And would the agreement encompass just the incremental production, or would it revise the current agreement?
Right now we are talking, and I don't know whether that will be the end result, but we are talking about an entirely new agreement for all tailings.
Okay. Where the entire production would be under a new pricing regime for everything you produce?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Oh, Klaus, one last question. When does the actual labor contract expire, the current one?
September.
September of this year.
September, the end of September?
Yeah.
And
the discussions are before that.
Right. Is 4 years the typical renewal of a term? Is that what it has been historically?
Well, historically it has been 4 years for us. And the last contract was 44 months. And the reason it was 44 months was because we didn't want to the renegotiation fall into the Christmas New Year time. So we had a 44 months this year, but this time we are trying to go back to a 48 months agreement.
Would you characterize it as cooperative discussions at this point, or?
Well, I mean, MVC never had a labor strike. So we are hopeful that history will continue. We do have good relations with our workers, with the union. We are very hopeful that we can come to an agreement which is acceptable for both sides.
And the last question, the size of the labor force, the agreement would cover how many employees?
Well, the agreement covers all employees, of course, whether they are in the union or not. But it is for about 200 people.
Just shy of 200 people.
And it would also cover any additional employees, obviously, that would be brought on in an expansion environment.
You would have to pay the same wages to people which you bring on, but they would not be covered.
They would not be subject to assigning bonus when they join the company.
Okay. But they would just fall under the existing wage labor agreement.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. The following question is from Ken Hefner of Lakeland. Please go ahead.
Hello. I was wondering if the generators were required for our electric contract signing.
No, we do have a contract with the central grid.
But it was not required for the, let's say, 8 cents per kilowatt hour after 5 years?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay. I just wondered if you had any comment as far as how the negotiations were going for the transmission lines for the new hydro dams, if they're ever built.
Before we can negotiate about the transmission lines, we have to know with whom we are going to have a power contract for the additional required for the additional power requirements, and that has not been decided at this point.
Okay, actually, I was referring to the transmission lines for the dam itself. That looks like right now it's all on hold as far as the construction goes. I just didn't know if there were how the negotiations for the transmission lines are going. And as far as getting a new contract with Codelco, I just wondered if it looks like the new contract would have some sort of inflation adjustment or adjustments for when electric costs are high.
Yeah, no, as I said, we are talking about a completely new concept of a partnership between Codelco and ourselves.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. The following question is from Anthony Cantone of Tinton Falls. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. I wanted to ask about the future expansion to the 90 million pounds a year. How much more capital expenditures do we need to get us to that point? Do you have any idea?
We should have a better idea of that toward the end of this year.
So in other words, we still need a substantial amount of money. My concern is that we only have, looks like, $7 million in the bank, and we spent $7 million just in CapEx in the past 3 months. So we're running a little bit on thin cash reserves for a significant amount of CapEx.
Well, look at it another way. The cash flow which we have made this year with high power costs and the cash flow which we expect to make in the second half, and you then add 20 to 25 million in terms of cash flow, which we would get through the saving of the power costs, that would add up to something between $30 and $40 million per year. I don't see it that negative. We have been talking in the past that the expansion, we are planning the expansion in sort of two stages, and so in the first stage, that would certainly be enough to achieve that first stage expansion.
So the first stage would not get you to 90 million; it would get you to something lower than 90 million.
Yes.
Okay, and you feel that you have enough cash flow from operations to fund this internally. You don't have to go out and raise money at these depressing levels with the stock market, I mean, with the stock selling at the near the bottom.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it of course depends on the copper price, but talking about cash flow, which we expect based on present copper prices.
All right. Well, the I'm just concerned that we may have this great expansion opportunity, and we just don't have the cash to take advantage of the expansion opportunity. That's the point. But thank you for your answer. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you once again. Please press star one at this time if you have a question. And the following question is from John Polcari of New York. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Gus. Quick follow-up question. Any increased production going forward, would the power needs for that be covered by the new contract, or does the new contract have a cap on it in terms of power commitment?
No, in the first stage, we would still we would still have enough power from the present contracts to cover these expanded needs. However, part of that contract would be based on marginal cost. So any significant increases beyond our present power needs would be marginal cost based. However, then again, we do have our generators, and if marginal costs are significantly higher than the 19 cents, then you know the generators would limit these additional requirements to 19 cents.
Right, but I'm confused as to the status then. You have enough incremental power to serve you through the first of two stages leading to
yes.
the 90,000 pounds.
Yes.
But in stage two, we need incremental power.
Yeah, we need an additional power contract, and we need a new about 2 or 3 kilometer power line.
And that would yet to be determined as to whether that would be under a fixed regime or variable or.
Yes.
So to be determined.
That's right.
And in the meantime, you're saying until that was put in place, you would have the ability to use your generators.
Yep.
And transmission lines would be at the expense of the company?
Well, you know, that also, of course, is part of the negotiations. You know, that could be our expense with more favorable power price or at the expense of the power company. And then, of course, the power company charges you for that.
Now, the new contract begins January 1, and is it safe to assume that the second stage of any expansion would be beyond 2013? Is that plausible?
How you mean beyond 2013?
Well, ramping up to 90 million pounds,
yeah,
in two stages. Obviously, the first stage would be at its earliest in 2013.
Right.
The second stage would obviously then be probably beyond that. It wouldn't happen.
That's right.
In the
That's
same
right.
year, it would be yeah. some yeah. sometime down the road.
Yeah. Not much later.
Right, but being subsequent to that,
yes,
you could conceivably be in an entirely different environment in terms of 2 years of rainfall or two additional changes to climate to power costs. I mean, there would be it's very early to speculate on variables in 2014.
That's right.
Okay. But as it stands, you would be in good stead as far as incremental power needs for the first stage. And the first stage, you would envision ramping up to what, 65 million, another 15 million? How does that break down among the two stages?
Yeah, 65 would be a good number. 65, 70, yeah.
And again, you're without the generators, you envision you'd be adequately served with the existing contract.
Yes.
Okay. Which would all the incremental power up to 70 would still fall under the fixed rate.
No, not all would fall under the fixed rate. Part of it would fall under the variable rate. But that again, through the generators, would be maxed at 19 at present oil prices.
Right. But also then essentially variable, you're subject to petroleum prices, so
Yeah.
What production is covered? What level of production is covered by the fixed power costs?
Present production.
Okay. 50.
50 million pounds.
50 million pounds. And do you have terms on the variable above that?
Well, no, it's marginal. You know, marginal cost price.
Okay, which at the moment is 14 to 15
it's
cents.
14 to 15 cents, right.
I understand. And then, and even at that marginal cost level, you would only have a commitment for enough power to get you to, say, 70 million pounds.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for the clarification.
Okay.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kuda.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and we look forward to speaking with you again when we release our results after Q3 2012. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and we'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.